father said like this, pray for the bigger purpose. He tried to pray always for the bigger purpose rather than for the unification church, but pray for the world, pray for the nation. Don't even pray for unification church's sake, but pray for the world, pray for the nation, pray for God like this, and pray for God's liberation day like that. And then, if you pray like that for God's kingdom in a national or worldwide level, then God's eyes opens and get excited by your prayer. That's what Father says. So basically, I think our prayer, although it's not always the same, but I'm just saying as guideline, okay? It can be all vary. I don't follow this order exactly all the time in a prayer. But these are just the basic that you can remember. That, okay, first attitude of like repentance, repentful attitude, and then become humble. If you are humble, if you become humble in your heart, then you naturally find something to be grateful for. So gratitude. And then in your prayer, you can express like what you like to really accomplish for God, like determination or resolution. Then for that to be accomplished, number four, you need God's guidance or His grace. You can kind of keep these things in your mind. I think it's connected. Yeah. So, externally, like your position of prayer, it's a very external thing, but it's very important. I think you have a different kind of feeling when you are standing and praying, or even putting hand in a pocket and praying in this way, Heavenly Father. Or standing straight. Or even a clothes, what you wear, affect you, you know, pajamas. Or need to clothe. It's true. Praying, bowing basically my head. Or you are kneeling down, sitting on the chair, or kneeling down. It's very different posture, but it's different feeling, isn't it? And when you really down, and pray kneeling down really deep, you feel like that physical posture helps you to be completely humble too, feeling of humility. Even though this physical posture helps, no? So if I really feel kind of really humble before God, somehow I don't prefer to pray standing up. Somehow I feel like even physically, I had to really go down. Because this is an age of attendance, and also especially after, age of attendance, before we were told, like, you know, wake up early morning and then just pray immediately, you know. So always in pajamas and half eyes still open and half sleeping, and then it's kind of Heavenly Father. Not really flesh. But Reverend Clark always teaches now that, especially talking about attendance, that we have to feel by attending through parents, like we have to live through parents, feeling of true parents like God, you know, really on earth, well, that's how they are, and attend them and then speak to them and just speaking through parents to God, you know, this is how concrete God has to become to you, you know. So you don't just greet through parents, for instance, with the pajamas and talk to them in the beginning and through parents, you know, I'd like to do this morning with pajamas. So he say, you have to clean up first. Save that first word for God. In silence, you clean up yourself, and then first word goes to God. And after you clean it up and straighten up, and then pray. And so he always say, you know, you'll hear it probably if he gives more lectures. That even feeling of really you are attending God through parents. Therefore, not like, you know, pray in pajamas is recommended. You understand? So even in your room or something, I think I'll have enough chance later maybe to share these things, you know, age of attendance and this and that, more practical guidance. But so like we are encouraged to have some place in our house, wherever we are, to have some place, you know, like even two cushions of whatever, to feel that true parents are there physically, and to live this kind of very realistically feeling of their presence in your life. And start a day like this. This is very important. You know, it's a very small thing, but I wanted to say, because it's always continuing, and please do not use father as like a conjunction. I mean, before you finish one sentence, you know, five or six of father comes out. It's very distracting, actually. And can you imagine, you know, someone is praying, and if I were God, I mean, did you place yourself in God's position and listening to that prayer? You know? Although God understands you probably that sometimes you honestly don't know what to say in between, and so you say, Father. Or maybe you feel insecure that if you don't say father, maybe if God gets lost someplace and he will go away or something. But, you know, you really don't have to say so many times, you know, father. I think it's very unique in our movement somehow. I don't hear this in other churches. I don't know who started out or what, but it's not what we recommend as a tradition, okay? So, and also, as we pray, we have to be aware generally, like whether it is an individual prayer or whether it's a prayer of like representative prayer in 10 people or 100 people, then you have to be aware, like if you are praying in behalf of, say, here, 45 people, then, you know, you have to focus what these 45 people feel and think, you know, wants to offer to God. And then even your voice, and, you know, you have to project more. You know, sometimes, like, brothers and sisters pray, and then you're praying as if you are just alone and no one can hear, and then at the end we have to say Amen. You know, it's very difficult because we want to hear your prayer, you know. So if you are representing, say, 45 people, because what the Amen means? Huh? So be it, truly, something like, huh? Amen, yeah. So be it, yeah. Yeah, the word of Amen, that indicates Lord, but I mean, generally, Amen means, yeah, so be it. Means for me to be able to say, like unison prayer, right? You don't want to say it without hearing it and say Amen. You have great faith, but, you know. So, you have to be aware. I feel like time is running out. I haven't even... What can I do? Mr. Suda spent one whole day, you know. Just prayer. Like. Also, to really... if, like, quite few people expressed that, to really improve your prayer, you need to... It's always good to learn from other people's prayer, you know, their relationship with God. So I think you notice that we have lots of sharing here because we want you to understand other brothers and sisters' God, you know. Because my own God is very limited. The way I can perceive, the way I can grow in my relationship with God is very limited. So it's always good to know and expand my understanding of other people's God, how there are many different and unique ways to reach God, you know, or God's way to reach them. So that's why in prayer also, sometimes if you are praying all by yourself and then you are listening to your own prayer, do you experience like you're going around the same circle and doesn't seem to be improving anything and adding same words, you know, all the time? No more kind of freshness. Sometimes it comes, you know. Yeah, like, and it's always good to, like, encourage each other to pray together. Whether it's in a form of Trinity, two people or three people. Or sometimes if you're not inspired to pray, like somebody else said, listen to unison prayer, somebody else's prayer, okay. But it's always helpful. So the biggest enemy in our prayer is very often my own concept or my own distrust in the result of a prayer means my prayer not going to be listened. You know, like David has said some time ago, that my prayer is not important. I'm not important. Therefore, whatever I say, not going to be listened so much. This kind of, that's really enemy. Because it will then already cut off relationship, you know, in your mind. The possibility for God to work, to respond. So that's why it's very important that you trust God, that He will hear your prayer. Let's say, the Bible verse, in other words, you know, if you are thinking like that, then you are already defeated, you know, before you even pray. But God is saying in Jeremiah, for instance, 29, you know, chapter 29, 12 to 14. Okay, I'll read it. Then you will call upon me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Anyway, so you have to trust that your prayer is important to God and your prayer will be listened. If in that preparation time, if you are defeated, it's very difficult. That became an enemy very much in yourself. Don't make too low opinion of yourself. You're very important people in God's eyes. Another thing that's important, well, to encourage your prayer, if we can just always feel like uplifting feeling, you know, to pray and to communicate, that's fine. But sometimes we just have to pray with a feeling of I must and I must to try. Nothing wrong in that. Because we know again that we can't expect always natural communication all the time. For instance, you feel sometimes up to go out for witnessing, but sometimes you don't feel up to at all. But at least you even kick yourself to go, right? With a sense of, say, even duty or mission, you know? Why? Because this is anyway at least the right thing is to do, even I don't feel like it. And this is important also in the effort to restore back our relationship to God, that even I don't feel like it, you know, I wish very much that I can feel, you know, to pray, but if I don't feel like it, at least I will try. And so, Mr. Sudo, guys, if you don't feel like praying and you don't have anything to say, read Divine Principle. These are God's words, you know. And you offer this to God. Or you can say, when you created Adam, let's see, I'll read it to you, Heavenly Father. You know, how you created Adam and Eve. And, you know, when you called Noah, then you felt this way, that way. And then, after all these preparations, sometimes you can take off and get into prayer. But you need all this help, you know. Prayer, unfortunately, didn't become a natural habit for us as a fallen man. So we need a conscious effort that's necessary. So it's good to encourage each other to pray. You know, if you have difficulty, you can say to someone and say, hey, I just can't pray. Would you pray with me? That's good, you know. Because even I'm low spirit or don't feel like it, somebody else feel really up to it, then that person can open the way for me to pray. That's fine. So, in a sense, you had to be like enlightened about the fact that prayer became an indemnity, you know, a battle. Therefore, realistically, difficulty or some pain is unavoidable. Just accept it. You see what I mean? Instead of, why I can't pray, and then blaming yourself and everything. Well, this is reality of falling man back to God. Accept it. I feel like I have many things, but anyway, so when you try to pray, you better just honestly admit your own limitation. Again, humbly offer this to God. Heavenly Father, I have this difficulty, that difficulty. In fact, I don't even feel you as my Father yet. There's nothing wrong in that kind of prayer. If you feel it sincere in your heart, you better express it, you know. God wants to hear it. He doesn't want you to just always perform somebody that you are not, you know. He doesn't want to relate with you like that. In this society, sometimes you feel like even you are not there, people expect you, and then you just have to always make up something that you are not. It's such a strain, but God doesn't want you to be that way. I feel, you know. Because then you have to fill that gap all the time and telling a lie to here and there, all over, and then you lose all honesty in relationship with God. No? You have to be always somebody, somebody that you're not there. No, instead, just accept your limitation and honestly offer. You know? So, sometimes members used to say like, oh, well, Father, but Father instructed us that we should never pray from weakness. Didn't he do that? And we are to follow and we had to become small Samyama. Therefore, you know, we shouldn't pray from a weakness. No. So if you bring out some weakness and you can't pray or something, then somebody else will come and judge you. You know, well, you can't pray. Oh. Then you feel more intimidated, more, you know, discouraged to pray. But I will say, go ahead and pray from weakness. Again, even in relationship with my child, accordingly to that child's development, I cannot expect unreasonable thing for that child's, you know, standard. If I expect 2-year-old child, 5-year-old thing, you know, older child thing, it's unreasonable. God knows that, your process. Do you see what I mean? So even we have to say to God, or we are supposed to feel God as my parent, as our parent. If you don't feel like it, then to you, God is still like a master. Go ahead. Relate to him that way. Fine. You are in that process. Do you see what I mean? Don't compare yourself from others, with others, you know. That because that person is there, so I must, when you are not. You don't have to pretend it. Again, God cannot accept false, you know, kind of pretend it's something. To him, most precious thing is your genuine heart, you know, sincerity, wherever you are. So, many times I prayed from weakness, but I didn't feel a bit guilty, you see what I mean? Or self-accusation. I couldn't help it in those moments. I have to pray from weakness, those moments. Again, I have to say, if I can do everything that I was asked to do or manage myself, say, 100%, that's fine. But I realized more and more, no matter how I try my best in terms of, say, fulfilling my mission that I was asked to do, the more I think about it seriously to accomplish my mission in the fullest way possible, the more I realize smallness of my capacity. After all, no matter how I exert myself, I feel like, yeah, it's true, 5%, or even 2%, 1%. But when I pray to God, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that you have this small person. No matter how I try, I'm like this. However, your desire is this. You care to accomplish this whole thing, but all you got is me. You've got to help me. I'm not going to threaten God, but you know, you got to help me. You know my limitation. Nevertheless, you asked me this. What you going to do, Heavenly Father? You got to help me, 95%. If I'm not constantly faced with my own limitation, how can I be humble to face God and trust God's capability? You know? If I'm so confident in everything I was asked to do, I never call God. Don't you think? I can do everything by myself. Why I need God in prayer? So, sometimes, like I had one spiritually adopted daughter, and this person was a very capable person in the church. She never ever admitted any kind of weakness in her, you know, because anything she can do, she can do it. I mean, anything she touched, she can do it. Very easy, 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 easy. But this person, somehow God put her through many difficult situations. And she even fell, you know, got married, and has to come back, go through hell and emotional struggle, felt like she's a piece of trash, you know, filthy. How could she come back to God, she thought. But God still accepted her. Well, I was in between. I accepted her. I convinced her. God still regards you as a daughter. Come back. And she almost resisted. It's almost like, I'll go to hell. You know, why you touch me, you know, like that? You know, don't bother. You know, it's like, with so much guilt, you know, well, I'm not going to be accepted, and I'm not going to be accepted, you know. But I refused. And then I said, no, you are accepted. Come on. So by that, then, after going through the whole thing, and then she was matched, and she was blessed, and now she's with her husband, you know, cutting off all that, what she went through. Then, later, I got together with her, and I said, well, what this whole experience of going the other way, you know, left the church and getting married and all that, teach you? Where are you now? I said. Then she said, you know, looking back at my life in the Unification Church before I left, I never prayed, in essence, you know. I never knew how to cry and pray desperately, because I could do everything so easily. I said, that's true, isn't it? But when I left the church, I went through all kinds of things, and I came back, I learned how to pray. I need God. I learned tears. I already had a hard time to understand God's love, but when, because I went down the pits, you know, bottom, then when God really patiently worked on me, you know, with me, then I learned how to call God in a prayer with tears. So I said, then good thing happened then. You know, even though the price was a little high, I wished that she didn't go that far to understand God's tear. But still, as a result, you know, she learned how to pray. So, sometimes they like, God switches, I mean, our Father switches our position here and there, and He never let us sit in a seemingly glorious position, but always hardship and difficulty and humiliated place and take away all position and glory and everything. And the past accomplishment, so that we can't sit anywhere comfortably. Why He does that? Because He constantly wants to remind us that no matter how much we try, we are still in a very humble portion, you know, in the whole picture. That God, what God can do in relationship with us is much greater. But if we become too big, we forget God's grace. Therefore, when He sees us, you know, becoming too much that way, and then my self-identity builds up too much, then He kicks us, you know, and then put us like a 0 point, you know. My husband and I go through this all the time. Whenever new mission or before new mission, always feeling like I'm just nothing, you know. Really, not just saying it as a gesture, feel it, you know. Everything we thought we had taken away. We had nothing to hold on to except God. This kind of feeling. And then, whether people say I have to be humble or I should be humble, well, I can't help being humble because everything taken away many times. I've got to start from there. So, it's very important that you don't externally judge, you know. Just because your situation today is seemingly difficult, then you doubt why God put you, you know, in this kind of situation. That's a little bit far from what God really intends to do for you. Because God wants you to know that He is there. Whenever you face limitation and difficulty, then that's God's opportunity. You know, man's calamity is God's opportunity, the famous line. You know, it's true. It's God's opportunity to come and dwell in you more powerfully when you face your difficulty, you know, how humble you are. And if you don't feel it, then it's a trouble. So God even forces you to take away. It's true. God's way is very different from what we think, because we are trying very hard to become somebody, you know, and try to make an all packed up, nicely wrapped, you know, kind of offering. But many times God is not interested in that. He's more interested in the process that you have to go through to become ultimately perfect, not in each stage you do perfect. Do you see what I mean? So many times we think that in each process we fail here, we fail there, we haven't accomplished anything great, then we have no reason to pray or no reason to offer anything to God. That's not true. God is more interested in ultimate perfection. He's not interested in just today you are small this and small that and bumpy here, bumpy there. So I really want to encourage you, like back to that pray from weakness. You know, please don't think that you have to always pray as if you are already grown up when you are spiritually still a baby, you know? Or say just toddler, just to start barely walking, or adolescents. You can't just take, you know. For instance, if you're a baby, if to my own child, I can't say, well, you have to just get up quickly and run and do the social work, you know, boy, you know. I can't say that to my boy. I have to nurture this boy, you know, to where he is capable enough to do it out of his own.
Find that you can't be honest with people either, and honest with yourself either, and that it starts a lot of times with God, again, in the name of trying to give him the best, but end up doing PR, in a sense. And then it starts to affect your own relations with yourself, inability to deal with these things, and then with people. One sister I know told me one time, she said, she was on the PR team, she said, I love to do PR, but not with brothers and sisters. And a lot of times I think that starts with this false concept of never pray for weakness and making something that's not really real.
I have a feeling I missed many things, but probably in many days we have, maybe we can cover. So, unless you have some very urgent question or something.
I can't completely agree with this idea of praying always with a suit, because
praying with what?
Always with a suit on.
Oh.
Because
suit?
The way I think is that suppose God comes to me while I'm in the bathroom, I'm having my shower, and I tell him, okay, you wait 20 minutes, you know? Oh, how can I do that, you know? God has priority. Or if I'm in bed and God comes, and then I say, okay, just let me dress, you know?
I think the difference comes between whether you are already a child, you know, who have this, say, linear relationship, and so already you have that freedom. You know, even in the heavenly kingdom, there is an order. There is a hierarchy. I mean, you know, there is a certain sense of order. God is the highest. Those who are, you know, in behalf of God administering something to be regarded as the highest, and this kind of thing, you know. It's just within God's, say, ideal world, there is still, it's not like a value will be all appreciated as equal. Each person will be all respected, but still there is a sense of order. There is a sense of, for instance, all those ceremonies that we do, there is a certain rituals that you got to follow, you know. That's not just a restoration course, but in a heavenly kingdom, these things will be carried as a, you know, tradition. So, for us to learn that in that process, I think it's good to learn how to meet God with utmost, even externally, utmost respectful form. Do you see what I mean? After you learn all these things, then you can be free at any time, any moment. Of course, God is everywhere, anytime. But I think it's important. For instance, if you are to meet a president, or even your friend, or even your mate, you dress up. So what it means, what it implies here, is actually internal. But still, if internally you feel like that, you want to be externally too, you know. And if you don't have time, but you have urgent to say, God understand, because the important thing is your heart, no, not your external form.
What I meant is that ideally we are supposed to have constant give and take. So ideally we can't always wear a suit, because we have to sleep with a suit on, literally, you know, and have our shower with a suit on, and everything with a suit on, you know.
I think... in the day, during the day, like for instance, first time you wake up, then why we are encouraged to pray? Because it's a first moment in your life, like, you know, awake, you know. So that first and the freshest and best part of your heart or your concern goes to God. That's what it means. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than extension of yesterday, but renewing this day and freshest and first and most value goes to God. And it's a training, you know, of ourselves to learn this style of life with God. So, in that process, you know.
If the internal thing is important, and you must be sincere with yourself, and if you want to be sincere, then the external attitude towards God must not be there. It should be vanished, and only there should be only God and your internal attitude. So in that situation, prayer is very significant when it relates to internal aspects.
I understand. But at the same time, yeah.
It is all the times of the whole life.
I know. But I'm saying that in a restoration process, you have to learn these things, you know, because you understand?
Yeah,
you understand.
It's just that
in other words, yeah. Why we have to, for instance, important thing is God and my artistic relationship. Nothing else is important. But why you have to study truth? Truth has to give you the framework and sense of order, direction, you know, these things, right? Law. If you just ignore that and just try to seek artistic relationship with God, it doesn't work. You have no foundation, actually, to build a true artistic relationship. You need a framework of truth. So what am I saying is, if you just exclude, you know, that and just emphasize the truth part, just the ritual, then you feel restricted. But for the sake of attaining that freedom artistically, you have to follow these steps, you know, in your life. Do you get it? I think we have to finish.
Just one thing I began to be aware of is how important it is to have reverence in our hearts, like respect for God when we pray. And sometimes we don't always have, I know in Western world especially, reverence and respect is not such an important part of the culture. So we have, coming from that kind of world, we have to learn to develop that kind of attitude. So things like doing this, which is just to help us, I think, to develop some sort of respect and reverence for God.
Yeah, one time some elder said like we are coming from this archangelical kind of culture, and archangel always try to regard, you know, others just equal, nothing higher than themselves. So you and I seem equal, and that means even president, myself, president of this country, myself, we're equal. It's true, equal in some sense, but, you know, this president who carried a bigger responsibility serving for the nation, if I just happen to be living just for myself, I had to pay respect to this person in that area. But same thing applied to, therefore, even a member, you know, sometimes facing God or facing through parents or facing 36 couple or whatever, then always, well, they're same, you know. And they try to talk with God also like, hey, God, your father, you know, my dad. It's not quite like that. So, in ideal world, I don't think that's just that equal base, you know. Again, it's a sense of order and respect, and this kind of thing has to be regarded. You know?
What I meant is that I don't mean to say we don't show respect, but there are certain times when you are not doing, you have no idea of praying at all, and you are in ordinary clothes, you might be even playing soccer. And then suddenly...
Dinesh, you and I are talking different thing, actually.
Oh,
you know, this one aspect is, this is one understanding. And then this is just usually every day. Sure, we relate to God in a many different way, you know. Yeah, I think you and I are talking a little bit different angle. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand you, what you're saying. And, okay. Yeah, I think we better finish.
I was going to say that Adam had a pretty good prayer life while he was naked. When he started wearing clothes, he got into trouble.
Oh,
I don't want to.